Father, we just want to thank you for Roy and for Shirley and just for the call upon their lives. Lord, thank you for the many folks that they support and encourage and mentor. And Lord, we just want to pray for your peace, your protection, your provision for them. Lord, as they give out, Lord, would you give back to them regularly? And Lord, we just commit to you all those who are under their care and their direction and their support. And Lord, as Roy shares the word that you put on his heart for us now today, Lord, we pray that those words would touch, they would challenge, they would bring peace, they would bring freedom, they would bring joy, they would bring hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you. Well, what a period we have gone through since I was last with you. In the words of Bob Dylan, the times, they are a-changing. Or if those of you can remember way back, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. The world is being shaken. Everything is changing. And it's often during those times that are unfamiliar that we look to things that are familiar. In times that are uncomfortable, we look for those things that are comforting. So, for example, our TV watching habits, for certainly Shirley and I, we've changed. And I have to confess now that we watch things that lift our spirits. We're not news addicts. So Saturday nights have become regular viewing of Cruising with Jane McDonald. And Adrian Dunbar, not in Line of Duty, that gritty crime drama, but he's now doing a series called Coastal Island. Or Ramesh Ranganathan's Travels, or Rick Stein in France, or Joanna Lumley, Travels in My Own Land. Personally speaking, I could watch Joanna Lumley doing anything. But one of the other favourites was a programme called The Yorkshire Shepherdess. And this is about Amanda Owen and her husband, who lived way up in Upper Swaledale in Yorkshire with their 9 children. And in the last programme of the last series, she said something that really struck me. Healthy sheep are those who can survive on their own. They've learned to graze and feed and look after themselves out there on the moors. The Good Shepherd will always be mindful of them, but they have to learn to feed and look after themselves. And I think that has so many parallels with us in lockdown. You know, that like the sheep, we're out of the barn, we're out of our church buildings, we're out of our ability to gather together. There's not fresh food in the sheep trough or the pulpit, but they, like us, have to feed and grow without the familiar support mechanisms of services and meetings and pastors just being on hand all the time. And I was thinking about this as I was walking what's known as the pastures here, which is the opposite side of the river from Alnwick Castle of Harry Potter fame. I was walking in the pastures the other day, and I was thinking about the shepherdess, and Psalm 23 came to me. And it's Psalm 23 that I want to share with you this morning, a very familiar verse. Now, I didn't have my Bible with me, but I told Psalm 23, and we're going to see a video of the telling of Psalm 23 now.
The Lord is my shepherd, and I have everything that I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass, and he leads me beside pools of fresh, clear water. He gives me new strength, and he guides me in the right paths, as he has promised. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I will not be afraid. For you, Lord, are with me. Your shepherd's rod and your staff, they protect me. And you prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. And you welcome me as an honored guest. And you fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Now, Psalm 23 is a very familiar psalm, and it tells us a lot about God and how he reaches out to us in various ways. And just three things I want to share with you this morning. First of all, that the Lord as our shepherd is like a parental guardian. Imagine you're a young lamb, you're cast out into the world where your instinct is survival. And when you find some grass, you better eat all of it, you know, including the bitter roots and the weeds, because who knows when you'll next feed. You're constantly on the hunt for other tufts of grass, any scraps that have a bit of greenery, a bit of life about them. And yet the psalm describes God transforming this little sheep's experience into one where there is abundant grass. There are lush green pastures, a meadow that is so lush you can lie down in it. You don't have to worry that there won't be enough. It's everywhere. And more than that, there's water so clean and abundant that you can drink all you want. And there's no danger in drinking from it, because it's not like a fast flowing river that you could drown in. These are still waters, they're gentle waters, and they're freely always available. This is the stuff of sheep dreams. And this psalm is a reminder of the provision that we don't have to be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. I shall not want. With God, we have everything that we need. The Lord cares for us. The Lord provides for us. And he wants us to know that he cares for us, and that he wants to free us from those anxieties and fears that play so heavily on our lives. And in these opening verses, it speaks of hope, something that we've been looking at this morning, and comfort and assurance. And in the midst of this incredibly present, challenging season, which won't be over in a few weeks or months, we're going to have to live with a series of pandemics. Read the history of the world and when plagues and pandemics have come. There'll be all kinds of variants in this very challenging, world-changing era in which we're living. It's important that we are able to embrace and appropriate the God who cares for us. Like a good shepherd is not taken by surprise when storms come, the coronavirus did not take God by surprise. God, the good shepherd, remains caring for us. He's also the Lord who is, as a shepherd, a friend and a protector. A shepherd who is like a guardian or caring parent is great, but there's something more that the psalm reveals about God and his relationship with us. We all know that life isn't all about pleasure and provision, lying with the image of lush meadows with refreshing streams. We all know those dark periods. Yesterday, when I was on the hilltops in glorious sunshine, where there was a lot more snow came down on Friday and through the night, Saturday, early morning, and people were cross-country skiing on the tops. It was beautiful. It was sunshine. It was blue skies. It was magnificent. But I had to come off the tops and come down into a deep, dark ravine. And the psalmist is describing those places, such a dark place. And in that dark place, he doesn't experience God as the great fixer, the perfect guardian or parent who makes everything better and everything okay. But what he discovers is that God is walking by his side, shoulder to shoulder, as a friend and as a guide. This is a shepherd, like a friend, who does not leave him when the road is darkest. His presence is like a shepherd's rod, which is able to fend off and fight any predators. And it's also a staff to lean on. And the God whom we have worshipped this morning, the God who cares for us and loves us like a parent and a guardian, is the God who will be with us through the trials, through the darkness, through the dangers that life brings. He's with us in the midst of our darkness. He's there with us. We haven't got a God who is immune from suffering. We have a God who understands suffering, a God who is with us in pain and suffering, in bewilderment, in uncertainty, in loss, in bereavement. A God who is with us when everything falls apart. God will not forsake us. This is the good news of the Christian faith. We are not alone. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the psalmist declares, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. And central to this psalm, perhaps at the center of the whole Bible, at the center of the whole of the Christian faith, is this one phrase, you are with me. Notice that the psalmist moves from a relationship that he is talking about God to talking to God. And the heart of Christianity is a relationship with the living God. And that relationship is one that is rooted, based, founded, permeated in love. God is love. And Paul, when he writes in the New Testament to the church in Rome that is under not a pandemic, not under a plague, but under persecution, where there is suffering and there is pain and there is disease and death, Paul writes and says, there is nothing in heaven nor earth, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, nothing. What a promise for you and I today. And my prayer is that whoever you are and wherever you are and whatever you're facing, you may know, we may know that we are loved of God. Let's listen to Psalm 23, sung to us by the Iona Band.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me His goodness will lead.
So the Lord is a guardian, a parenting God. The Lord is someone who is a friend and a guide. But wonderfully reassuring also is the fact that here the psalmist is looking forward beyond the end of this life. And what does he find? He finds a God who is a welcoming host. And the image is of the Lord waiting for him with a banquet prepared, where he is welcomed as an honored guest. It's an amazing image of God that he welcomes us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And then when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Jenny, who is one of my prayer accompaniers, who's joined us this morning, we were together at Portrack, my first church in Stockton-on-Tees. And she may recall a lady, a dear elderly lady called Frances Marwood. And one of the great privileges of being a pastor, there are many pains about being a pastor, but one of the privileges was actually an experience of being with Frances at her deathbed in North Tees Hospital, where she'd had a stroke. She was in that kind of semi-comatose state, and you were uncertain as to what she was able to hear. She was struggling to communicate. But I remember being with Frances, and her favorite psalm was actually Psalm 16. And so I read Psalm 16 and I prayed with her. Psalm 16 ends, "And in your presence is fullness of joy." And then I prayed Psalm 23 with her because I knew that she would know that. She'd be very familiar with it. And, you know, as we prayed, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want," she just kind of, in her weak hands, just grasped my hand a little. And as I read with her, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And then her hand let go. And it was as though she held my hand, and then her life was taken into the hands of the Saviour whom she had come to love and to know. I came across this yesterday. Death. A sick man was at his doctor's, and he was preparing to leave the doctor's surgery. And he said to the doctor, "Doctor, I'm afraid to die. Tell me what lies on the other side, if anything, of death." And the doctor said, "I don't know." And the patient said, "You don't know, but I was led to believe you're a Christian and you don't know what's on the other side." And the doctor, who was holding the handle of the door in his private practice in his own home, there came a sound of a scratching and a whining. And as the doctor opened the door, a dog sprang into the room and leaped on him with an eager show of gladness. And turning to the patient, the doctor said, "Did you notice my dog? He's never been in this room before. He didn't know what was on the inside. He knew nothing except that I was here, his master. And when the door opened, he sprang in without fear." Yes, I know little of what is on the other side of death, but I do know one thing. I know my master is there, and that is enough. And that is something of what the psalmist conjures up here in Psalm 23. And he actually goes beyond the expectations of the doctor, saying, "Actually, there's going to be a banquet there. I'm going to sit. I'm going to be feasted." It's an image of actually communion with God and with others. Now, in conclusion, I can't let this day pass by without mentioning St. Valentine. And I hope that you've got your cards and you've got your flowers. Somebody's given you chocolates or whatever it is. And St. Valentine, you probably all know this, was the patron saint of lovers, but also of epileptics. He was a priest in Umbria in Italy. He was a distant cousin of the Pozzos. And he was around in the 3rd century. And he was associated with Christians who were persecuted, with Christians who suffered as he did for their faith. Valentine was arrested and was put under house arrest because he was evangelizing. He was eventually released on condition that he wouldn't evangelize anymore, but he continued to evangelize. So he was arrested again, and he was sent this time to the Emperor Claudius, who initially liked Valentine, until Valentine did that pesky thing of evangelizing and wanting to share the faith with him. And then he was given an ultimatum: stop, renounce your faith, or you'll be executed. But Valentine was not going to renounce the faith, the relationship that he had entered into with Jesus. And he didn't stop evangelizing either. Even when they put him in prison, he continued to share his faith with fellow prisoners and also his jailers. And one of the jailers had an adopted blind daughter who Valentine prayed for, and she was healed. And on the day of his execution, on February the 14th in the year 269, he left a note for that young woman, the daughter, which was signed, "Your Valentine." Now, Valentine knew what the psalmist knew, that the Lord loved him, that the Lord would be with him even in his darkest hour, and that the Lord would welcome him home. Psalm 23, no wonder it's used so often in all kinds of contexts, because it's so full of faith. It reassures us. It speaks to us of hope and love, things that we need for such a time as this. Gosh, if one thing has surely taught us in COVID-19, it should teach us about the things that really matter in life. And that's relationships with God, with our nearest and dearest, with our neighbours, and with ourselves, which of course is the great commandment. Now, in conclusion, sermons normally end with some exhortation to do something. And it'd be really easy for me to challenge us all to do something like pursue goodness and mercy. But no, listen to what the psalmist says. It's God and his goodness and mercy that are going to follow us, pursue us, run after us all the days of our life. I love to get out walking, and I've walked virtually every day, certainly 6 out of 7 days since we moved back to Northumberland. And yesterday, on the moors and in the estate, the Annick estate, I witnessed something really lovely in the distance. There was a child being chased by her father, and I could hear in the distance, "I'll catch you, I'll catch you." And there was loads of laughter. And I saw the father run and catch up with his daughter, and he took her in his arms and he lifted her up and he swung her around and he kissed her. And it was a beautiful sight. And it's just lovely image that just so resonates with these final verses of Psalm 23, that God's goodness and mercy, the Hebrew word means to actually, God's going to chase after us. He's going to pursue us. So as we face tomorrow and today, the dawning of new week, let's take hope and encouragement in the love that God has for us, the God who will be with us, the God who, like a parent and guardian, cares for us, the God who, like a friend and protector, will be with us whatever we face, and the God who will never leave us and who will be there for us at our parting this life and entering our eternal home, where, to quote that other psalm that we've alluded to already, Psalm 16, there is fullness of joy. That's good news in a world that desperately needs some good news. Bless you. Amen.